Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Luke chapter 11. If you'd like to follow along with the written sermon notes during the sermon, the written notes are found on page 3 in your bulletin. As we explore our gospel lesson this morning from Luke chapter 11, let's give credit where credit is due. You know, it's often easy to criticize Jesus' original disciples, and sometimes with good reason. After all, it was those original disciples who, at the same time when Jesus was telling them that he must suffer and die for the sins of the world, well, they were arguing about who would be the greatest. Or another time when they tried to prevent parents with little children from bringing them to Jesus. And even apart from specific examples, there are so many times when it seems like those disciples just don't get it. But here in Luke chapter 11, those disciples do get it. As they follow Jesus, as they see his commitment to prayer and his habit of prayer, they are led to approach him and to ask, Lord, teach us to pray. They see in Jesus one who has a close relationship with the Heavenly Father, and they want that too. So how is your prayer life? How would you rate that aspect of your walk with Jesus? Great? Okay. Needing some work. I'm guessing that many of us would answer that question this morning with the response, needing some work. In all my years as a pastor, I've never had anyone say to me, I pray too much. I spend too much time in prayer. My prayer life is too much a part of my day and my walk with the Lord. On the other hand, I have had many people say to me over the years, and sometimes have found myself in the same boat, saying things like, I find it challenging to carve out time to pray each day. I would like to be more faithful in prayer. Sometimes my prayer life falters. My goal with the sermon this morning is not for you to beat yourself up about the current state of your prayer life, but instead to be reminded of this wonderful gift of God, the gift of prayer, and to see the opportunity that God gives you to grow in the use of this wonderful gift. May you and I also today, with those first disciples, say, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus teaches us how to pray both by example and also by specific instruction. Jesus literally shows us how to pray. His habit in his life is consistently to pray. Indeed, our gospel lesson begins this morning with Jesus praying in a certain place. Throughout his earthly ministry, again and again, we find Jesus praying. Jesus models a life of prayer. We're told that the night before Jesus chose his first disciples, he spent that night praying. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him as they go up the Mount of Transfiguration to pray. And where do we find Jesus on the night before his sacrifice on the cross for the sins of all people? In the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated that he was a person of prayer. Jesus also offers specific instruction regarding prayer. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Elsewhere, Jesus tells a parable about being persistent in prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6, as well as here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus offers words of instruction about prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure you notice that the wording of the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 is different from what we usually use. The version of the Lord's Prayer that we use is actually a synthesis of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. Plus, the conclusion is added on, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Words which were added centuries later. This difference in wording has led some theologians to suggest that when Jesus was instructing his disciples, he wasn't so much trying to teach them a specific prayer, but rather giving them prayer principles. I'm not sure it matters too much one way or the other. As he responds to his disciples' request, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus emphasizes the relational aspect of prayer. I think it is important that Jesus doesn't begin instructing his disciples by saying, "Say this, my Father," or "Give me this day my daily bread." No, he intentionally uses the plural. He emphasizes the relational aspect of prayer. Prayer is frequently and importantly something we do together. As a community of believers, as a gathering of Jesus' followers, something we do collectively. Can we and should we pray personally by ourselves? Certainly. But there is also great value in us praying together. It is my frequent privilege to be able to tell fellow members of Trinity, "We prayed for you in church this past Sunday," or "A lot of people are praying for you besides just me." That is important and powerful. Jesus also emphasizes the relational aspect of prayer by how he begins, as he uses the word "our Father." Not "dear God," not "O creator of the universe," even though those are wonderful ways to begin prayers. No, Jesus intentionally, responding to his disciples' request, uses the word "Father." Jesus is emphasizing that vital relationship. God, our Heavenly Father, we, his dear children. Martin Luther said that we approach God in prayer with that relational idea always in mind, as dear children approach their dear Father, even suggesting that we think of it as using the term of endearment, "Daddy," with all of the relational closeness and affection embraced in that term. Jesus also shows us the importance both of spiritual and physical needs. The Lord's Prayer, whether considered a formal structured prayer or prayer principles, emphasizes both. Honoring God's name, praying that God's kingdom would come among us, praying that God's will is done, asking God for the forgiveness of our sins, but also helping us to recognize our daily dependence on God for everything we need to support this body and life. Prayer is a powerful and effective means of helping us to see that God gives all gifts, spiritual and physical. What I would like you to do this morning is this. Imagine the possibilities. God shows His goodness to us in many ways, and one of those wonderful ways is through His gift of prayer. So imagine the possibilities. Imagine what blessings will be yours as you and I grow in a life of prayer. Imagine the possibilities as more and more we support one another through God's gift of prayer in this Christian community called Trinity Lutheran Church. Imagine how God can shape us and mold us that we be more and more aware of the unfolding kingdom of God in the world around us as we grow in prayer. May we join with the disciples today and every day as we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.